Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear. Here we be in your ear canal. Here we be, all three. I'm Tom.
The look of panic on your face was so adorable.
I'm Matthew. And
I'm Ben.
And he's Ben.
Clinging to the ear canal against the tidal waves of wax that swings through. Clean your ears.
What? Are you supposed to?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? They say don't stick anything in your ear that's bigger than an elbow.
Unless it's one of our podcasts.
Of course, unless it's one of our podcasts.
Can you buy elbow-sized earbuds?
Yeah, that's what they... basically like, oh, fuck this. I was going to try and yes and you there, and I thought, forget it. Anyway, welcome to the show. This is the vibe. This is the kind of vibe we've got going on here. But
don't back out now, because this is a good episode.
Oh, this is a very strong episode.
We've got Beef Brothers Cold Cuts.
Yes,
of all things.
The show in which we try and solve your flat share based beefs.
Yes.
If you would like to get in touch with us and send us your flat share based beefs, you can get in touch on beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, or you can send them via our Twitter, or we'll even accept them via the Patreon or via Facebook.
Or just slide them under our door.
Yeah, just slide them under our door.
Skulking around outside.
If you are submitting them through the PO box, I'm afraid that's going to be a quid.
But be honest about that, please. Solve those problems on our own. We have the help of a brilliant guest. Who was it this week, Ben?
Oh, it was Rose Johnson. And I tell you what, she was very good at kind of getting to the heart of things. She really saw the problems as like in an emotional way.
There's a future in therapy for that lady if she didn't have such a bright future ahead of her in the world of comedy. Mm.
That's right. You might know Rose from Birthday Girls, the comedy sketch team, who also have a brilliant podcast.
Yes.
Which we've appeared on.
Yes. She's now a brilliant stand-up in her own right.
She is a brilliant stand-up in her own right. If you ever get a chance to see her, please do. And as you'll find out, she is not just a brilliant comic. She's also, as Clarkie said, very erudite, very analytical, and extremely emotionally intelligent human being.
God, this has turned into a real love fest.
It really has. I think I'm about to cry.
Well, let's get through this and we'll see you on the other side. Enjoy.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Cold cuts.
RJ.
Hello.
Rose Johnson.
Yeah.
How you doing?
A bit hungover.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the perfect.
Prime podcast, quite vulnerable, so could say some stuff that I regret. Could cry.
Mike, start crying, yeah. Classic.
That's what we're hoping for, really. We don't have enough people crying on the podcast.
I don't think we've ever had it.
Oh, really?
We must have had somebody cry on the podcast.
Just a little one.
Who's
maybe
cried?
Just a little.
Well, I think I've cried. I think I've cried laughing on podcasts before.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've had that. You're in the wrong place for that.
Yeah.
What we're looking for is the sort of Stuart Goldsmith style. We ask a question that triggers a memory, and it sends you off
crying.
Basically,
did
yeah.
lots of people cry on his podcast?
I've heard people cry on his podcast Crikey. Before. Yeah, yeah.
The people listening to the podcast. How are you as a housemate? Are you an emotional housemate?
Yeah, yeah. Really emotional. More of just a general person, so that just spills over into being a housemate. Emotion, it fills every fibre of my being. I'm governed by it, not in control
Please.
Of it at
You're
all.
You're not going to start crying, are you?
I feel like I am weirdly on the verge, actually.
I was going to say.
But, yeah.
The thing is, if you talk about crying enough, it's going to
yeah.
it's gonna happen.
What yeah, I'd say I'm always on the verge. Could what? Be tipped over at any time.
Yes.
But it could be anything. Like the other day... I was a bit premenstrual, and I started welled up because I saw a bouncer, big muscly bouncer outside a pub, eating a little like Tupperware box of his meal prep that he'd done
oh.
of like chicken and rice, and I walked past that and I just welled up.
Is that because you thought if I'd seen that guy without his little box, I would have judged him in a certain
yeah.
way?
And he's and just actually, sitting you know with what? His little rucksack in front of him, having his little chicken and rice.
A packed lunch paints a real picture, doesn't it? It paints a picture of preparation.
Yeah.
So you then
and also a man who chiefly having a protein-based meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's also true. Yeah, he's probably doing it to...
Kick the, so he's stronger to kick the shit out of people.
Muscles are built in the no, kitchen, that's what they say.
No, it's the softer side of him. The domestic side.
Tupperware.
That is quite the adorable thing about... That, like, seen. Being a big, massive bloke means you actually have to be like you think he's just moving weights around and all the rest of it, but actually...
Are you speaking from experience here?
Yeah, of course. The reality is there's loads of massive. Just, like, little... Doing lots of little diligent things.
Just make sure you're getting enough protein in, haven't you? You've got to roast some chicken breast.
What you didn't see was 10 minutes before that when he beat up a little kid to steal his lunchbox.
Why is the kid just eating chicken?
He's got a weird mum.
Fair enough, right? I asked the question, I got the answer. Should we start with Clarkie's? Because it's on message.
Yeah. Ah, yes, it is. Now.
Muscle man.
It's a muscle man type question.
Right.
Matt,
big fan of muscle men?
Yeah, don't mind them.
Who's your favourite muscly man?
Present company excluded. Am I right, guys?
Well, because you're not muscly.
Oh.
Sorry.
Whoa, come on now.
The three of us have been working out hardcore.
Clarky could pass as muscly.
Clarky's a muscly guy.
Yeah.
Clarky.
The other, you two, absolutely not.
No, we're not.
Although Tom's strong. He's lifted me up before.
Tom is strong.
Was that something you asked me to do?
Actually, no. It was the classic Parry Festival. Yeah, going up.
Going up on the shoulders, yeah.
There was a bit in Kat Cohen's Edinburgh show this year, which resonated with me so hard, where she was like, a kind of chubby girl's deepest fear is a man trying to lift her up playfully. Because when you're like a slim little girl and men are like, oh, I'll just lift you up. And when you're a bit chubby, you're like, no, you just don't, you can't, you won't be able to. So I've stopped you before, but you did it.
I know, yeah.
Credit to you.
Thank you. I saw it.
Your back's not been the same since, has it?
But Parry, you've picked up Clarkie, haven't you?
You can
pick up Clarkie.
Yes, Clarkie's picked up me.
Yeah. Clarkie's picked up you.
We've done a lot of putting each other on.
We're still waiting for you to, you know...
To try and pick the step in. I don't reckon I can pick up either of you.
Come on, mate.
I don't think I could... No, I don't think I could.
You're saying you don't think you can pick up Parry?
I don't think I could pick up Parry.
I don't think you could either.
I don't think
the two of us between us could pick up Parry.
I think it's all about levers.
Well, I was trying to say that...
I'll leave that.
Yes.
Not for me.
It's a Brexit argument.
It's a Brexit argument.
No. It's all about the levers.
Wimpy Remainers could not pick me up, but a couple of strong levers.
Vin Diesel's a musty man you like.
Yeah.
I like the way we started talking about Brexit and you're like, how can I steer this away from that?
I did. Vin Diesel. Panic.
But you're right though, it is about levers. It's about the getting the right angle. I don't know where I would pick you up. That's the question, isn't it? Where would I?
Piggyback?
By the willy.
I mean, yeah, it's a
Tom's lever.
A pulley system. I'd throw his
nature's lever.
I would
Timing is everything with that lever, can I just say?
Here's what I would do. I'd grab his willy, I'd throw it around my neck, and I'd just start pulling it, and hopefully my neck would act as a sort of pulley system, and I would pulley you up, I'd give you a little kiss on the belly, and let go of the willy, back down to the ground.
It sounds like a great morning.
It sounds like a wonderful morning. It sounds like a good way to spend some time. So, Clarky.
Well.
You muscly man.
Thanks.
Who's this from? Matt.
Front names only. Has said... he hasn't given his surname as well, so.
Or the back end of his first name. Front first name.
Oh, good point. Sure.
Is he a Hugh? Is he a Hulamot?
What's the next bit?
Hugh Mattman.
Matt traditionally is Matthew, isn't it?
Matholomew?
Truss. Could be Matholomew. Ooh. Could be mattress. It could be a mattress. Has a mattress come to life and written us a message? Well, let's find out.
Let's find out.
Do you know what, actually? I think
it does say when I'm lounging around.
Oh, hello.
It's a mattress.
He's a mattress. We've rumbled
in. Our early doors.
Guys, if you are a mattress and you're listening to this podcast thinking, I can't write in, you simply must now. Matt the mattress has set the precedent here, and thank you very much, Matt. This is from a mattress.
When I'm lounging around eating pizza...
That's not a mattress.
It's not.
It's not a mattress, guys.
We can rule out now that it's a mattress.
So if you are a mattress, listen to this.
He's harking back to something, so he could be memory foam. Am I right, guys?
Hey!
When I'm lounging around eating pizza and watching TV, my housemate will join and start working out, making me feel a little guilty.
Right.
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 Because
right.
So the scene here, picture presumably scene. Living room. If it's bedroom, it can't be bedroom, can it?
There's a clue in the word lounging.
You can lounge in the bedroom, Tom. You can sleep in the living room.
It's not called the lounge.
Put a mattress in the kitchen.
He's in the living room.
I presume so, yes.
Lounging around.
I also think he's eating pizza. You don't want pizza in the bedroom.
No.
It's a smelly food. That's going to be absorbed into the fabrics.
Yeah, the smell will linger.
It's going to be a lot of Febreze to get rid of that.
Yeah. But so obviously instinct, first of all, you go, well, what are you doing? What are you playing at? Coming in and working out while someone's just trying to relax. It's stressful energy.
Yes.
When someone's trying to relax and they've established one sort of vibe in the living room. But then I'm asking myself, how often is he lounging around eating pizza? Is he doing that on a day-to-day basis all the time?
You establishing a rule here that the first person to get into a room gets to establish the vibe of that room? Is that a weird rule to establish?
I think that's a pretty fair assumption, though.
Like first one into the living room gets to control the atmosphere of the living room.
For example, if you sit down and start watching the television and then someone just comes in and puts on music, you go, that's rude.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Whereas if they were playing music in the room already and you came in and put on the television, that would be you being rude.
I used to live with a DJ at uni. Genuinely.
But you know what? That's the exception that proves the rule.
We'd be halfway through a film and he'd come in and start setting up his decks and start DJing in the corner.
That's unacceptable.
Really?
Yeah, you can't have that.
Yeah.
Was he DJing along to... You know how sometimes they have a live score along to a film?
If only.
Was he DJing along to the film?
Well, he had one set. He had a small set of records, so his set was always the same.
Right.
What? He'd always end up like scratching into 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon.
Hey, that's
so
nice.
It'd be like that, but with some like Detroit techno underneath it.
Great.
So we'd kind of have to bend whatever the film was around that vibe.
I think whoever's in the room first, it's like if you're having a bath and someone wants to...
I'm not sure, hang on.
In the living room?
You can't say.
You know, when you're having a bath in the living room.
You can't be like, I'm in the bathroom having a bath. You can't come in and have a shower. That's different, right? But this is a communal space.
Yeah, it's a okay, fair enough. It's not got off. But I do think that if you're in there and you're, for example, if you were in the living room reading a book and it was quiet and somebody, the etiquette would say, someone comes in, they say, do you mind if I put the telly on?
That's
and
fine.
Then you passive aggressively go, no, it's fine. I'll just go and sit in my room and read this book. I'll move. What's he doing? Is he watching TV?
He's eating a pizza and lounging. If he's watching TV,
he can't go and do that somewhere else unless he's on the iPlayer on the laptop, right?
Let's face it, everybody is.
Yeah. Yeah, but he might be on the Skybox in the living room, you know, right?
A good point.
It's Cluedo, but
a good point, well made.
However, exercise, you can do that in any room. Go and do it in the kitchen if you want to.
I disagree about exercising in the kitchen.
In the park.
I don't think
the park is not a room.
It's the biggest room. the largest room.
Here's the thing I think we're missing out on this beef. The problem is the guilt. The problem isn't the distraction. He's not saying I'm trying to watch the telly and this guy's abs are in the way.
That's true. What is he?
Or like he's,
what does he say? Makes me feel bad at the end.
Makes me feel a little guilty.
A little guilty. There
and
you go.
There's the issue. So it's a bit like, you know, like because he knows that he should be working out. It's not about distraction. It's not like I'm trying to watch Game of Thrones and this guy's pumping away. Sorry, I'm just taking my own experience of watching Game of Thrones. That's a different thing. And something I don't do in the lounge.
So he's the enjoyment of his pizza and TV is being marred by somebody throwing their healthy eating and living in his face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue.
I think... The other thing is, I mean, obviously we can't know any other details, but I'd love to know what the layout is.
It's a crying shame.
It's a crying
shame. It's an absolute crying shame.
There's no way of knowing.
Please do get back in touch. But what is in the sitting room? Have they got specific... Do you think there's specific equipment in there?
I think he's... Yeah, I reckon he's got some free weights. I think he's doing his bicep curls. He's doing some press ups. He's doing your classic living room workout, which, by the way, I wouldn't recommend. To be honest, do you know what he should say? Tell him you shouldn't be doing this in the living room. You should be doing this
in the park or under the
supervision of a professional. Because I used to do living room workouts and I got a hernia. So that's what it gets you.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Can we talk about it? So you. Yeah. And what were you doing? Just like a sort of
trying to get massive.
A self guided.
Are you blaming the living room?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get any shot?
No, I blame some fucking shouty woman on my DVD called Autumn Calabrese.
Autumn Calabrese.
Yeah. Wow. Autumn Calabrese is a great name. It sounds like dish in an Italian restaurant. Oh, yeah, sorry, just Autumn.
Sorry, Autumn. Yeah.
Good call. So, so you're following a DVD.
Yeah.
And she pushed you too hard?
Yeah, and I think I was doing it wrong. You know, and the form was probably wrong, and I think I wasn't zipping up from my core or something.
That's it, there's no one there to correct you.
Exactly.
For a while, I was following Kelly on Fitness Blender.
Yeah.
And
Fitness Blender. I don't know.
Fitness Blender. Sorry, front names only, Fitness.
Fitness.
The thing is, once you get into, for example, a downward dog position, you can't see the laptop and you can't see yourself.
Yeah.
So you've got no idea if you're in the right, you know, if you're in the sort of right position.
And what you need is someone next to you who's not doing that activity.
Eating a slice of pizza, saying...
Who's on a different level.
Bring your ass up a little bit.
Yes. Going, oh, hang on, mate. You're not quite doing it right there.
Although that would be
absolutely right. And actually, I think he should lean into it. Lean into the fact that he's
not
doing it.
But if you're leaning it too far, you might damage yourself.
Yes, don't lean in too far whilst not zipping up from the core. But I think he should lean into it and start
critiquing
his form.
So there you go. You're spotting your friend.
Spot him, but unprompted.
Yeah, because his mate's not going to like that. No. That's the way to fight back, isn't it? That's fighting fire with fire.
I also like the image of a bloke on a sofa eating pizza going,
No,
you're doing that wrong.
Yeah, I love chest all the way to the ground, mate.
Yeah.
There is a flip side to this beef as well, in that we could very easily get a beef sent in next month saying, look, I'm trying to stay healthy.
Yes.
But my flatmate is always there eating a pizza, living the dream. It makes it hard for me to feel healthy.
That was going to be my beef was going to be that I, whenever I'm trying to be healthy, my husband just has a flagrant disregard for it and brings in really unhealthy treats and eats them in front of me. But I've got a different beef, so I can empathise with that.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm starting to come round to old exercise-y.
You sort of have to, yeah, that's the thing. If you're trying to be healthy, you kind of have to do it together, don't you?
Yeah.
Because you're only, I mean, you're as weak as the weakest person.
Yeah.
I certainly feel that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm often often the weakest person, and I drag my wife down with me.
And you live with a 2-month-old baby. That's damning.
Yeah, okay.
That is damning.
If you're living in a couple and one of you has bought ice cream and you've just watched a couple of episodes of Schitt's Creek, come on, man. You're going to be eating ice cream, aren't you? Yeah. You're both going to be eating ice cream with the best will in the world.
Yeah,
it's not good.
So what are we saying here? How do we solve this beef?
I think the spot challenge is the way to do it.
What? That pizza should be shouting at press ups to lift, put their bum down.
I think it's simple. Whoever's in the room first sets the mood. And I also think that if you've got a pizza, it has to be eaten there. As discussed, the bedroom's no place for it.
But lounging, watching TV and eating pizza, that's a long experience.
That could be all night.
Your workout, 20 minutes.
He might want to just be doing like half an hour a day, just to sort of, you know, keep him honest, keep him real. So you're saying that
stay this, massive.
This
guys.
We don't know about Matt. Matt could be clinically depressed.
He
could be there.
That's why I was dancing around,
lying on the sofa
all day,
morning, noon, and night, eating pizza.
The guy's
television.
Just trying to exercise to keep himself sane and not get dragged down into this spiral of pizza and depression, you
Matt,
know?
Switch off the podcast, put on some jogging pants, get down the park.
That's it.
Can we just say, by the way, very, very, we should say, jogging is not a cure for depression.
Oh, but do you know what? Fucking frustrating. I've started doing it recently and it makes
better.
You feel amazing. I'm so gutted about it.
I know.
They say it is one of the cures. It's
genuinely.
Yeah. It's good for mental health.
Yeah, it really absolutely. Is good for you. I would recommend it.
The only thing I was... Yeah, because for ages I didn't want to be... this is so stupid, but I put off exercising for years because I was like, well, I don't want to be locked into this thing of I only feel good if I exercise. But why not?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's
win-win, isn't it?
It's win-win, yeah. You exercise and you feel good.
But also what I'd say is, you know, Matt seems like he seems... He just wants to have his pizza. But also what I'd say is that guilt that you're feeling, that you think that he's inspiring, that's projection. That's latent guilt that you've got about having this pizza and this TV anyway. If you're fine with it, if you're there being like, I've earned this treat, I'm having a pizza, you don't give a shit if someone's doing press-ups next to you. You're just a bit mildly annoyed they're in your peripheral.
Exactly.
But I think own it. If you're having a pizza, have a pizza.
Wisdom.
Don't let anybody make you feel bad about it. But if you feel bad deep down in your heart about that pizza, that press up's going to make that come out.
Wow. This is like Fight Club. At this moment, Matt's going to turn around in his front room and realise he's been living alone the whole time.
Oh, that's amazing.
And the guy doing the press ups was himself.
Yeah, so that's it, Matt. You've basically, we're saying, I think that we've solved the beef in that we've said that you have got split personality disorder, unfortunately, Matt. So
you're a schizophrenic, so go for a job, mate.
Yeah, get yourself to some therapy ASAP, actually.
Beef solved.
Wow.
From the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved. You know what? I think that was morally reprehensible.
I told you, don't give me a free rein on a hangover.
Let's do another beef. Okay, who's this from?
Irina.
Irina.
Ooh. Yeah.
Irina.
How do you spell Irina?
A.
Pardon?
It's not arena.
This is not from an actual arena, is it? First, you have a mattress.
Yeah, this is.
Wembley Arena's got in touch.
This is from Wembley
Front
Arena.
Front names only.
Front name, sorry.
Sorry.
Wembley. So this is from Irina.
Irina. She says, my flatmate Steve, and then she's put in brackets, also partner in sex.
Partner in sex?
Oh, come on.
It works with partner in crime, not with partner in sex.
They might not be partners. They might just be fuck buddies.
They might run a business of sex. They sell sex toys.
They might sell butt plugs.
And why not? Fair play to them. It's 2019.
You know what? Fair play to you. If you do, get yourself out for a jog, mate.
And also, send us some.
What, butt plugs?
You know what?
Why not?
Some free butt plugs.
Tom.
We could talk about things going up the arsehole all day, and let's not do that now.
I think let's steer
but
away
But if anyone's
from
got
that.
Butt plugs they want to send us, send them to the PO box, please.
And please do be honest.
Be honest about it, guys.
My flatmate Steve, brackets, also partner in sex, seems physically unable.
Can I just stop and talk about this partner in sex thing?
Mm.
I have a dislike of when people call their partner, like they'll be like, the boy.
Like, yeah,
when,
this one.
You know, like, yeah, when like people I know will be like,
yeah,
the boy decided to surprise me with some flowers.
It's a very Facebook-y,
he's done good, that
Instagram-y
kind of thing.
Type thing.
Or, yeah, like,
beautiful Sunday in the park with this one. Fuck.
The worst.
This one. Yeah.
Absolutely get to fuck.
I don't know.
This one
I've
or
not heard
the boy
either of these
really
before.
Get me.
They absolutely grind my gears.
Yeah. Also, those people will be broken up within the year. If you're using this one or the boy and you're putting demonstrative pictures of yourselves on Facebook, you've got big problems in your relationship and you'll be broken up within the year.
Go for a jog.
Get
guys.
Jogging.
Get yourself jogging.
The couples that jog together and don't post about it on Facebook. Stay together.
you are talking about your own relationship.
Yeah.
What about couples who talk about it on podcasts?
Free reign. That's healthy. Really healthy.
Podcasts are basically comedians' therapy, aren't they? You know.
Yeah. Sometimes I think that just comedy, like stand up, is there's stuff that I would say in my stand up. That is a genuine, you know, deep concern in my relationship that I've not voiced to my husband.
Yeah, yeah. It's anything else you want to share with us now?
Is he listening?
Preview of material?
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
And that's part of the problem, Dan. You don't listen.
My flatmate Steve, brackets, also partner in sex.
We've said it three times now, and it doesn't get any better.
No, it gets worse, doesn't it?
Brackets, partner in sex.
Because I've got a problem that the flatmate comes first.
Yeah, so that's the question. Is did they start as flatmates?
Well,
started nubbing?
I think this is...
It happens.
Yeah,
no, to be fair, they are writing to a podcast that's called Flatshare Slamdown. So Do you know what I mean? Pappy's flat share. Flatmate, that's why we've said it. What's your problem?
It's true.
So
let's assume they're in a relationship.
Yeah.
It just, the demarcation of those two things suggests a problematic.
It's really stuck in your craw, hasn't it?
Should we just say...
Ooh.
You like that?
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where is your craw?
Oh, good question.
Here. Neck. Neck.
For the listener at home, Rose is rubbing her neck.
She's rubbing her neck.
And, I've joined in.
Neck. Neck.
I'm rubbing my own, not her.
You know.
If you do that, make that noise. There's the craw.
But isn't that
the craw roar?
You're not thinking of like, caw. That's like what a crow does.
Stuck in your craw.
Stuck in your craw.
I thought it was when a bird, like, you know when they try and swallow a big thing and it's like.
It sticks in your craw.
It sticks in your craw.
Well, I think birds caw.
Do they have a craw?
Do birds have a craw? Can you please Google if birds have a craw, Emma? And we will get back to that piece of information in just a moment.
So, but Steve,
in the meantime,
flatmate,
let's open up our craws.
He seems physically unable.
Oh,
bloody hell. Okay.
To not
end the beef.
To not completely cover the bathroom with water when he washes his face. I go in.
Thank God. I thought I was going in a horrible other direction then.
I go in, slip on the floor, and then look around. It always looks as though there has been a monsoon.
Wow.
End. That's the end of the letter.
End of beef.
End of
I
beef.
I mean...
Arena.
Drama.
Dramatic.
It always looks like there has been a monsoon. What I'm going to say is Arena sounds like she might be... over dramatising this scenario.
She sounds a little melodramatic, yeah. I'm not going to lie, because we're assuming he's just getting water on the floor. He's not getting it all up the mirror and up the walls and stuff, is he? Or maybe he is. Well,
maybe he is.
Well,
if there's a monsoon.
Well, it's the floor that she's mentioned. I go in, slip on the floor, and then look around.
He's only washing his face.
How big's the face?
Is that what?
How big's the sink?
It always looks as though there's been a monsoon. Now, I know... Now, first of all, I'd say she's... I'm presuming... Yeah, bathroom. This is a wet room.
This is not happening in the lounge.
This is a wet room. This room is designed to be wet.
Yes, but not all bathrooms are wet rooms.
No. There's not going to be... Well...
More's the bloody pity.
It's not going to be carpeted because she's slipping on the wet floor.
Why aren't all bathrooms wet rooms? Because surely when the wet room came along, everyone must have gone...
This changes everything.
The future of bathrooms.
Tile it all. Tile it all.
Right?
The tile, the wet room,
the whole house,
the little sort of this kind of curved base to the entire room,
exactly,
that all runs downwards towards a drain.
You know it's all going to be wet.
Absolutely
you
ideal.
You can get in there and free rain.
Oh, hold on.
I think we've talked about this before. Like all bets are off in a wet room, right?
Why am I got a visual image of you just pissing up the walls?
Yeah, because you clearly like that image.
Really.
You're listening to Comedians Therapy.
So I'm picturing Vin Diesel pissing up a wall now.
And very good.
Ooh, lovely.
Very easy on the eye.
Don't mind that at all.
Tear that wall down. So
piss that wall down.
You go in a wet room. You let it all hang out. Then you drain it all off. You know it's going to be wet when you're in there, right?
Drain it all off.
Why aren't we at that stage of human evolution now?
I've got a similar problem because every time I have a shower now,
you get wet.
My partner in sex. says she complains about
too wet.
How it's like.
That you're too wet.
That there's too much condensation. It's like, oh, you have it too hot.
Too much condensation?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Have you got an extractor fan?
We have an extractor fan. And also, I will squeegee every time the shower glass.
Oh, yeah. I'm under
good
direct orders to do that.
Are you?
Absolutely. And I've got to do a daily shower spray.
What?
If I don't do a daily shower spray, I get a passive aggressive. Have you sprayed? But I'm sort of...
A moment ago, you were claiming your relationship was the beacon of a healthy relationship.
No, not in terms of domesticity, no. Because we're very different.
In terms of what? No amount of...
you know...
Emotional stability.
Emotional support and just having a nice fun time. But
Can I ask, is your partner...
In sex.
Your partner in sex. Is he doing a daily spray?
Oh, no, we don't have sex.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, sorry. Is your flatmate, is he doing a daily spray as well?
That's the trick.
This is the tricky thing, because really, my argument is there shouldn't be a spray after every shower. It's a waste of spray and the environment.
What are you spraying?
It is a waste,
Daily spray or shower spray?
I know what spray sounds like.
You know, the thing that you
the
say,
sound
you don't
is
have
never
to,
the question.
It keeps the mould out. So basically, what? With the two of us, it's whoever's had the shout the last shower of the day. But often, sometimes you don't know.
Sometimes you don't know.
Well, because you don't know if, I don't know if he's had, you know, if we've got up at different times, you don't know who's going to go for a run or what, like.
Always running you two.
Yeah.
You're married to Paula Radcliffe. Beautiful reference. So you both have to spray after you shower.
Don't you wet me with Paula Radcliffe?
I don't spray.
Though.
I don't spray. I squeegee every time. Yeah.
Gosh.
And now I'm 100% into that. Like, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, this is it. Because I think that she, so they've got different standards basically of using a bathroom.
Yeah, she'll shit in the street when she wants to. Hypocrite.
Are we still on Paula Radcliffe?
Still on Paula Radcliffe, everyone.
So he's clearly going for it. He's going, a bathroom is a room where it's going to be wet. I'm splashing around. That's fine. She wants to go into a bathroom that is not covered in water. There's different expectations.
A monsoon.
Monsoon. But I would, very similar to Ben, so my husband is, he dries out the sink after he's used it.
Like, wow. Like they tell you to do on a plane?
Yes.
Well, how does he do it?
They tell you to do
with
it on
a little
plane.
Cloth.
They say there's little tissues to dry out.
It says,
out.
Why not, yeah, why not use your tissue, your yes. hand towel to dry off the sink for the comfort of the next passenger?
He's gone mad. We've gone mad, haven't we, as people?
Well, according to the plane etiquette, Irina's in the right here.
Does she live on
he
a plane?
Should be drying out, he should be drying out off the bathroom.
No one's having a shower on a plane, though.
No.
Unless you're flying with, what's the one that's got a shower on a plane? Is it Singapore Airlines?
Props.
Wet Room Air.
Wet Room Air.
What?
Wet plane.
It was weak.
Wet Room Air.
It was so weak that it rendered Matthew speechless. For I would say 5 seconds.
I really, I thought I'd misheard it.
Yeah, no, you heard it right.
Was it Wet Room Air?
Wet Room Air.
What's that play?
I don't know.
Well, air. Tom, what you're not getting here is air is a traditional word they put at the end of the name of an airline. You know, so air, like Ryanair.
I can't believe this is still happening.
But you know, a bathroom is often described as a wet room, especially one that is a wet room.
The two together.
So wet room, air, put it together, you've got yourself a lovely little gag.
I apologise.
Don't apologise for that.
Please don't apologise. We should apologise to you.
There's been a lot worse said today.
There's been far worse things said in this room.
So, what's our beef solved here? How are we going to fix
That's
this?
A good point.
Let's find a way out.
Number one, sorry, Clark. Yeah,
No, you're right. Come on.
Number one, pop the bath mat down when you're washing your face.
No mention of a bath mat.
Mention of a bath mat. And I think that's key. A bath mat when you're washing your face, then at least some of the splash is going to go on the bath mat. You can hang that up, dry it out, you're fine.
She's used the word monsoon. I don't think a bath mat's going to cover this.
Yeah, you're right.
You this can't is... soak up a monsoon with a bath mat.
Let's talk to Steve about this washing goes. Of his face. How often do you just wash your face? That's what I'm quite confused
by. I think some people do it just before they go to bed.
Yeah, lots of people do it just before they go to bed. I don't. My wife does.
Yeah, my husband does.
Yeah.
My girlfriend.
Clarky, sell this?
Yeah, Megan does, yeah.
Well, there you go. The eyes have it. But I don't.
Tom here, putting his case forward to be the next speaker.
Out of the three of us, one of us do and one of us don't, though.
Never mind.
So it's a 50-50 split.
That was the noise of Harry's jaw hitting the floor.
I think that the first few words of this problem... Again, we're talking a deeper psychological issue here.
Finally.
I think that my flatmate Steve, brackets, also partner in sex, holds the key to this whole thing.
I knew you'd come back to that.
That's the dark side of the equation.
Yeah, I think that there's problems here in their relationship. And this is a resentment of... This isn't about the water on the floor. This is about... Because they're clearly not actually together.
She uses the word monsoon.
Monsoon. Right?
You think the phrase partner in sex and monsoon in the same message should be a positive one.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got a solution.
If it was sex monsoon, you'd be fine.
I think define your relationship. Be honest with Steve and say, look,
I'm leaving you.
I want us to be proper partners.
I've got to be honest, I'm leaving you.
Okay. I've got a,
yeah.
Am I oversimplifying this?
Go on, you oversimplify it for us.
Go in the bathroom first, change the routine. When you wake up in the morning, you go in first, you leave, Steve gets in there, dushes it around his face. In the evening, you go in, get ready for bed, go in. Yeah. It's all about successful living together. It's built on a routine.
It's built on routine.
My wife goes in first, does the business. Yeah. I go in afterwards.
Do what you like.
Make that wet room happen.
Sure.
Live the dream. That's all. By the morning, it's dry.
It doesn't change the length of your day, Arena. It doesn't change anything.
A simple change of routine.
Although
compromise.
It could be that there's time constraints. If she goes to work first,
then she should go in first.
Yeah.
If she's going into work.
Sorry. I didn't realise she went to work first. Yeah, she goes to work first.
If she goes to work second, that's a long time to have a nice clean face, isn't it? She's sitting around going, I've got this lovely clean face. I don't have to go to work for another 45 minutes. It's a complete waste of face. No, you know what, Parry? You're absolutely right. Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Beef solved.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's do a big beef.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about a crawl, first of all.
It's some kind of like bird stomach. Do I? It's some kind of like bird stomach. Thing.
Fair play, RJ.
A bird's stomach is a craw.
I was close, wasn't I?
That was, I mean, as near as damn it, because the neck and the stomach
it's on the
bird,
way, isn't it? They're basically the same thing.
It really sticks in my bird's stomach.
It really sticks in my bird's stomach.
Well, I think that's something. Like,
well, I'll tell you what.
Is it when
I can't give my bird onions?
Yeah, it's on the floor when I wash my face, and it really sticks in my bird's stomach.
Is it the business? Is it to do with, you know, when the mother bird feeds the baby bird and she has to put her beak quite far in to stop it like getting stuck?
Or is it is it that she eats a thing, regurgitates it in her craw, and fires it back up?
Oh, and it can get stuck.
If something gets stuck in your craw, you can't feed your young.
Oh, I mean, that we don't know.
We don't know.
But and we'll never know.
Guys, you're listening to a podcast called We Don't Know.
I mean, that has been the subject of this.
Which you have, if you've listened for a long time, yeah. That's it.
Le Grand Bouffe.
Here we go.
Front names only. Dan. And again, the front of a front name.
Yes. Is it Daniel?
Is it Daniela?
Daniela.
It could be Daniela.
Is it Danielle?
Is it Dantholomew?
Danatello.
Danius. It could be Danatello.
Anyway, he reads, I live with three other like-minded individuals. Sure, we skateboard together, we eat pizza together, and we fight crime together.
This is unbelievable.
Oh my God, it is Donatello!
It took me too long to get that. Beautiful old reference.
I like the way as well, Donatello describing his mates as three like-minded individuals.
That was the original strapline, because they toyed with going heroes on a half shell or three like-minded individuals.
Like-minded individuals. Turtle power.
By the way, they're three guys that can get into eating pizza and working out in front of each other, right?
Absolutely right.
They deal with it.
They're positively ripped.
Yeah.
You could see that being the problem, though.
Well, there is four of them. That's
no,
a good Mike, point.
So Michelangelo's the one on the sofa eating the pizza. He's got a problem.
He's the party dude.
Yeah, he's got a problem because who's the guy who's always working out?
I was sad there because I was always Raphael. He was my favourite.
Yeah, he's the party dude. Raphael comes in.
Classic Raphael.
Tense. Right, okay. Dan writes, hi, first time listener, long time writer. Is it okay? Is it okay?
Do you know what? I like Dan already.
This is great. First time is that, long time writer. Is it okay if I lay some beef on you?
Sure it is, Dan,
yeah,
go for it.
Lay it on
my housemate's boyfriend has always been a little odd. He's very quiet. Not quiet with confidence, though. Quite the opposite. As well as his deathly quiet, he permanently has an ears pulling back, eyes widening look whenever you talk to him, as if you found out whatever he's been keeping so quiet about.
Oh. Right.
However,
he could just be socially awkward.
This persona completely changed whenever I was on my PlayStation. It was quite sweet at first. He would sit and quietly watch me playing whatever game, and gradually his confidence grew, and he would give suggestions and tips as to what to do next, tactics to beat bosses or tricky sections. He seemed to be quite an adept gamer and great at spotting secrets and collectibles. I was talking to my housemate about it.
Wait, is that with, sorry, just the secrets and collectibles, is that within the gaming?
That's within the gaming.
Okay.
Yeah. Not like, just within the living room.
He wasn't like Lauren Harry's, that little kid who could do antiques.
No.
Okay,
no,
fair
no,
enough,
no.
Right.
I was talking to my housemate about it and how we seemed to be bonding a bit over games, and she was surprised. He'd never mentioned games and didn't have a console. In fact, he didn't even have a telly when she met him.
Right.
Jump forward a few weeks and it started to annoy me. He was constantly butting in and pretty much making everything unfun. Uh-oh. No, you've got to press that one, then hit that, and then him. He'd never play himself, though. It was really odd. He started getting quite angry after a while because I was being a dick and deliberately dying just to annoy him.
Okay, Dan. I mean, at least, you know,
Dan solved his own beef.
Dan has owned up to his own behaviour there. So he's got a little self-awareness as Dan. He knew he was being a dick.
The plot thickens.
Here we go.
It turns out this frustration was boiling over into my housemate's relationship too. He was apparently mentioning my stupid obsession with games a lot. Then she told me she'd found something on his computer.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I don't really approve of going through someone's history, because, well, there but for the grace of God, etc. But she'd been upset after one night poking her head around the bedroom door to ask if he wanted anything, to see him sat with his laptop looking at pictures of Megan Fox in a swimsuit and saying under his breath with each pump, "Who's your boyfriend?"
What?
Pump.
I'll go again.
With each pump, yeah, he's pumping.
He's wanking.
He's pumping
been upset
away, yeah.
After one night poking her head around the bedroom door to ask if he wanted anything, to see him sat with his laptop looking at pictures of Megan Fox in a swimsuit and saying under his breath with each pump, "Who's your boyfriend?"
Can I ask a question at this juncture? Does he live in that flat? Because if not, it's a bold move to go round to see your girlfriend, have a wank in her flat with the door open.
While she's just gone to... What did she want to ask him?
If he needed anything. And clearly he does.
Who's your boyfriend? Who's your boyfriend?
He needs an answer.
The thing is, on Google these days, you could find out who Megan Fox's boyfriend is.
Maybe he was... Maybe... Do you know what? Maybe he was talking to Siri.
He was asking Siri.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe this is all a big misunderstanding.
It goes on. It goes on. Among the porn she later discovered, which she described as surprisingly mild and with a disappointingly simplistic taste for red swimsuits.
What's her porn like?
Child of the Baywatch generation.
Or,
she also found...
Or big fan of Special K. Yes.
Just look
I
at
think
the,
those two things went hand in hand for us.
If you love Special K, you'll
Special
love Baywatch.
Special K, Baywatch.
Do you think that's why Special K went with that? Because they knew that it appealed to millennials.
Which came first?
Well, which, Baywatch.
Did you ever see the show?
Well, Baywatch came before Special K.
No way.
Yeah.
Baywatch.
Special K's not been around that long. Special K has been around.
No, it was like big in the 80s.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Special, the original title of Baywatch, the TV series, was Special K Watch. And they had to change it because it was too close to the truth. I think Special K was like a late 80s thing.
Really?
I was with you. I thought it was like...
Maybe it just had a very 90s. Smart rebrand and that's when it came to our attention.
I think Special K, I think it's always been around as a sort of like, as the, I mean, Emma's got the answer.
There's nothing like the look on producer Emma's face when she knows something.
She can't believe
but it.
It.
Should we all have a stab at the
thrash
ear?
Thrash it out for years.
Should we all have a stab at the ear? What, Special K?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I reckon 93.
I thought you said late 90s.
Okay, 97.
I'm going to now...
You hedge down then because
I'm
of what
now,
we said.
From the look on producer Emma's face, what? I'm going to go like 1947.
What?
Hang on, but that's because you were saying
yeah,
you've got
off I've changed
brand.
My mind. Is, well, people is... can change, Tom. Wake up. It's 2019.
Wow. 86, I was going to go.
Yeah, I would have said 1973 or something like that. Oh, my God.
Steady
1955.
Oh, wallop.
You were the closest.
Bang.
You're not claiming that?
Yes, I am. That was the closest.
No way. No way. Johnny entered the conversation saying it's late 90s.
Hold tight.
Oh, when was Baywatch written then? 1942. Old pre-war Baywatch.
Can I just say one thing?
Bay of Pigs Watch.
It was introduced to the United States in 1955.
Oh.
When did it become available in Britain? Emma, you've got a new challenge while
oh
we chat
my
about
God,
this.
This is good
when
stuff.
Did Special K become available?
I just...
And how long as well have they been doing the red swimsuit? Because presumably in 1955...
Red swimsuits weren't invented.
A swimsuited lady would have been a shocking image to sell breakfast cereal.
Wasn't the whole thing about cereal, like obviously Kellogg was a really fucked up guy, wasn't he?
And it was so, to stop people from masturbating, wasn't
yeah, that's
it?
Yeah. So it's all linked
it's all
to...
come around. It's come back around to Dan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dan the wanking man. If he...
Dang on, Dan's not the wanking man.
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry.
So he's looking at Mega... It's red swimsuit. Man. He's trying to stop himself. He's going for red swimsuits. He's wanking to stuff that he knows that he should. He's you know what I mean?
It's the ultimate taboo.
Yeah.
If you're wanking...
To something designed to stop you from wanking.
I mean, technically, red swimsuits aren't the thing that's supposed to stop you wanking.
Let's not get bogged down in the details.
But you're right. If you are able to wank to the picture of that cockerel on the front of a packet of cornflakes, that is the ultimate... It's the final sexual taboo.
From yeah. one cop to another.
If his full name is Dan the Wanking Man, it's no wonder he went for front names only.
I apologise. Dan, can I just apologise now? It's Dan the Wanking Man.
You'll always be Dan the Wanking
no,
Man.
No, right.
There's more of this beef, though.
There's still more beef to go.
We're halfway through the beef. And oh to me, God. There's already
so many
about
questions.
Eight beefs within this beef.
Well, yeah. Lest we forget.
It's deep beef.
With each pump, he was saying, who's your boyfriend?
Oh, my God.
We haven't found out yet who Megan Fox's boyfriend is. Isn't she married to that dude? No, maybe not. I think she's married to a famous actor. Anyway.
Let's find out.
Among the porn she later discovered, which she described as surprisingly mild and with a disappointingly simplistic taste for red swimsuits, she also found link after link to game FAQs.
What?
Frequently asked questions.
Oh.
It seems he had no interest in games whatsoever, but in his spare time was ruthlessly researching the games I was playing just so he could appear to be vastly knowledgeable about them. He's made it impossible for me to play games in my own home when he's around now. So here's the beef. I say I've known my housemate for far longer than she's known her boyfriend, and therefore he has to go. This may sound harsh and that I'm way overstepping the line. What right do I have over anyone else's relationship? Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. But in my defense, this is only the tip of the iceberg. There's also the time he took ketamine, locked himself in the attic with the Grange Hill theme music on repeat at full volume, promptly fell asleep, and the police had to break in. Weird that you don't lead with that.
Yeah.
Weird that that's not the start.
I'd say that's...
The look on Rose Johnson's face, listener, she is aghast.
I am very tense. I feel very tense about this whole situation.
Oh, and the fact he owes her £500, which he claims to be unable to repay yet, turned up the other month with a Cyberman costume he'd bought off eBay and a photo of his brand new tattoo on his brand new iPhone X.
He's got a tattoo
it.
On his He's iPhone. What?
This guy is a star.
Why do you need to show
legend.
A photo of your tattoo if you're there?
Well,
we also, don't. What are you showing the photo of?
He had his Cyberman costume on.
look at this photo on my phone of the back of this phone.
So, am I being a baby bellend? Should I just accept the fact I can't enjoy games and let her make her own mistakes? Or should she take this opportunity to ditch the drugged off debtor? Sorry, I didn't realise the vastness of the beef till I laid it before you. Cheers, Dan, brackets, Dan the wanking man. Close brackets.
Right.
You know what this is? I think I'm going to be ahead of you, RJ, because I think this is probably what you're about to say. Oh. When he said, sorry, I didn't realise the vastness of the beef till I laid it before you, what he's really saying is, sorry, I didn't realise that I'm in love with my housemate.
Yeah.
I didn't realise I'm in love with my housemate. I'm jealous of this guy who seems to be I'm going to say it, a balls to the wall legend who is living his best life and nailing everything. And in the meantime,
including his own hands.
He's getting.
It's because it's a weird leap to say, okay, he's got some problematic behaviour. It's suddenly he's putting it either he goes or I do. Like, I've known you longer, he's got to go. It's like, no, there are shades of grey in between whereupon you just say, hey, can he not like come round all the time, or can he not watch me gaming all the time? But he's laid it down as this binary, it's him or me.
This is very true. And also, he's got like this, the boyfriend is weird, like, weirded out by him.
Yeah, what, by
how he said, you know, how he says
early doors in the beef, wasn't
it? He's like, ears pinned back every time he speaks to
him. What are you doing, Dan the wanking man? Too
very quiet, not quiet with confidence, quite the opposite. As well as he's deathly quiet, he permanently has his ears pulling back. He has an ears pulling back, eyes widening look whenever you talk to him, as if you've found out whatever he's been keeping so quiet about.
Projection.
Yeah.
He's found out what you've been keeping so quiet about, which is you're in love with your housemate.
The other thing as well is he has this strange...
I've learned about projection recently.
No, this is, but he's got this sort of strange kind of possessive... There's a possessive turn of phrase he uses. Can you go back to the bit when he says, like, I've known her longer, or whatever that is? What's the phrase he uses there?
I've known my housemate for far longer than she's known her boyfriend, and therefore he has to go. This may sound harsh, and that I'm way overstepping the line.
Yeah.
What right do I have over anyone else's relationship?
Yeah.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. But in my defence, he did lock himself in the attic.
Okay, well, we're getting... that's where the argument's like, falls apart. But you know what?
Everyone's done that. My friend Ollie, definitely first front names only for him.
Sure.
At a house party, he took ketamine and walked around in a circle for 3 hours doing the John Barnes rap from World in Motion. That's fine.
Again, he sounds like a
ledge. These things happen.
If he made that last 3 hours, he must have done it really slowly.
Now you've just got to go because you did that. God. You know, if that was your friend that did that, you'd be like, it was hilarious. He locked himself in the attic and was listening to the Grange Hill theme tune. We had to call the police, that bit. But you know...
I don't know why they had to call the police.
I think he's called the police. Yes.
This surprisingly mild guy who has a penchant for red swimsuits. It's innocent. He's Googled gaming so that he can try and connect with this guy who's
because
clearly being very, he's not inviting him in.
Also, as well, if someone came around your house who's dating your friend and you just sat there playing computer games,
I mean, this
guy's not the way to make someone feel.
This guy's trying to befriend you. He's bought a Cyberman costume. We can only guess that that's for good intentions.
Sure.
And who hasn't asked Megan Fox who her boyfriend is?
I found out, by the way. Do you want to know?
I'm so close to knowing who it is.
Okay.
That I'm going to need you to tell me.
You're so close to knowing who it is because I'm about to tell you.
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
I can picture his face.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay, describe his face to me.
He's kind of like a generic white dude.
No, I'm not having that.
With a brunette head.
A brunette head?
Brown hair.
He's got brown hair?
Yes.
No, he's white on his face, but brunette on his head. This guy actually does have two heads. Oh. He's got one generic white face and then one generic brunette face. It's tricky because...
He's quite tall.
Do you know what? I was going to say, give me another detail. There's nothing else you can say.
No, that's it. That's what I'm picturing.
Square, round, apple face. What kind of shape would you describe his face?
Quite a good jaw.
Yeah, you've got him, mate. It is, of
Megan
course.
Megan Fox ain't going out with someone with a weak jawline, though. I could have had a guess at that.
You're kind of describing almost any Hollywood actor.
No,
yeah.
Not this
Parry
guy.
Parry has absolutely... He's guess who'd this motherfucker
told
to a T.
I've told you.
You have just described Brian Austin Green. They were married in 2010. And he's an American actor and... You don't think it is that guy, do you, Nathan? They were married in 2010, and he's an actor and producer, best known for his portrayal of David Silver.
David Silver!
On?
The Big Show.
The Big Show. It's one of the biggest.
David Silver in Game of Men.
Game of Men, correct. He plays David Silver in the TV show Game of Men.
What is it?
Beverly Hills 90210.
The big one.
He was also regular. He was also a regular on The Terminator. But I mean,
so that's who. There you go. Oh, I mean, look, that's who I imagined.
That's definitely him, isn't it? Now we see a photo.
Stubble.
Of him.
I should have said stubble.
A bit of stubble.
Be honest.
Oh,
did you have the right person?
Harry didn't.
I've not enjoyed this bit.
He didn't have a fucking clue.
Well, at least you're honest.
So, have we found out about Special K in Britain? Let's hear it.
Oh, okay. We'll do our years again. I'm going
to
stick.
Oh no, you have to stick the same.
1973.
Oh.
Oh, Cheat Johnson's out of the game.
No. We'll do it again, but. Go from what you thought initially, because I thought about...
In Britain. British launch.
Yeah.
I reckon 94.
I went 97.
73 and...
I said 86, didn't I?
Yeah.
1956.
Oh, my God. Straight away they bring it in.
It's one of the old schools. It was one of the miniatures at my nan's house, which I can remember eating from the age of
variety
six.
Variety pack.
So it was, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, wow. One of the classic variety pack packs.
I've got no recollection of it.
I tell you what, when they brought in Red Berry, though, changed everything. I love Special K Red Berry.
Oh, I hate it.
Well, why is that?
I find those bits too sour.
Oh.
And you criticised the bit where I tried to guess what Megan Fox's boyfriend looked like.
This is good stuff, Parry.
Yeah, sorry, now carry on. Tell us about Special K.
Do you think we solved that beef?
Well, but yeah, no,
yeah,
we've identified. That's not solved it though. What's he got to do? Put his act together. Tell her how you feel.
Tell your housemate you love her, Dan.
Dan, tell her you love her.
Show her your spicy porn history. She clearly is after a guy.
Say
who
you're
likes
into some freaky deaky motherfucking shit. Just say, oh, you wouldn't believe the kind of stuff.
Blue swimsuits.
Say everything I type into the internet is an acronym. That's all you need to know. It's a bunch of letters. I just mash a bunch of letters down. Whatever comes up on Pornhub, I'm jerking to it.
He's an acronym for mania.
He's an acronym. Yes. Beef solved.
Beef solved. That's all we needed. RJ's furious. Look, he doesn't enjoy any of this bit.
No, I like it.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
RJ, what's your beef? RJ, what's your beef?
Now, RJ, you've heard from the jingle. It never normally works because the guest isn't normally called RJ.
No, but
this
finally.
Week it's worked. Mm. We are going to ask you for a flat share based beef that hopefully Fanshawe Standen is going to solve.
Yeah.
But let's chat about it ourselves first. What's your beef?
So my beef is that my husband... So we both use electric toothbrushes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He...
This is good.
So, you know...
Clark is already on board.
I like this. He's already on board with this one. He loves it.
So it's a two-pronged beef.
Hang on a second.
Is it a two-pronged toothbrush?
Say that quickly.
Clark, he's overexcited about this.
I'm just so excited about the electric toothbrush thing.
You clearly have a beef in your house about electric toothbrushes, don't you? So you're getting in.
We've had a number of issues over the years.
It's a two-pronged beef.
Okay.
Yeah. And is it a two-pronged toothbrush? That's key.
Come on.
I've never seen him so happy.
Is it like a Darth Maul-style toothbrush?
Darth Maul toothbrush. Like the end of Requiem for a Dream, but for mouths.
I've not seen it.
No.
Don't watch it. It's very depressing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I've heard it's hard work, so I've never...
Yeah, really hard work.
It's tough going.
Anyway.
I think if you haven't watched Requiem for a Dream before you turn 30, you can't watch it because you're too susceptible. You have to have some of life's innocence left.
Is that your beef?
Yeah.
Your husband insists on rewatching it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got this.
So there's a few issues bound up in these.
Clarky is beside himself with excitement about electric toothbrush beef.
Clarky is so
fucking right. It's an absolute sweet spot for Clarky. It's like a kid at Christmas.
His face has turned the same colour as the sofa we're sat on, and that is a puce-coloured sofa.
Oh, God.
Clarky.
Come on. Get to the beef. I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. So there's a few minor beefs tied up already. There, these toothbrushes are already bound up in a few beefs, which is we have one charger and he charges his toothbrush every night.
Don't need to do that.
No, exactly.
You're going to waste the battery.
It's almost as though he believes that he's got an unspoken right to use the toothbrush charger. And if I want to charge my toothbrush, I have to be like, can I charge my toothbrush tonight?
Sir.
Can I ask a question?
Mm.
I thought the idea behind the electric toothbrush was that you have one brush per family and then several different heads.
Disgusting.
Why is that disgusting?
Because drippage.
The juice and comes this down.
The juice comes down.
Right, and there herein lies the beef.
But the juice, surely if he's a, if he's a sink wiper, he's a toothbrush wiper as well.
Well, here we go. Here we go.
Can I just be a good one? I think you'd be a good one.
I think Clarky needs a moment. But yes. Let's go.
This is Clarky's porn. Right, so... You get the drippage down.
Yeah.
You do. You can't avoid it. You rinse it off, but there'll be some watered down, toothpastey debris that drips down.
Mouth juice. It's a thick, gloopy, yeah. It's often grey.
Yeah. It looks like bacterial soup. Mouth if
milk.
You imagine.
It looks like milk. Don't taste like milk.
Minty milk. Mouthy, minty milk.
Suddenly I'm hating this.
Right. He wipes off this drippage using... our towels.
What?
No.
Wow.
Our towels for drying our bodies.
This is an open, close, shut briefcase, I reckon. But, however,
well, in the hands of the thing is,
so, because I don't do that because I think it's disgusting.
And you're right.
Yeah. I don't want to rub old mouth juice on myself when I'm drying. That's rank. But that means that when I don't wipe off the juice. So when I put my toothbrush in the cupboard, it collects.
No, so you don't wipe off at all?
No, I do, but not every night off the toothbrush. I have to clean up the thing.
I think that's okay. I think occasionally pop it in the cupboard and going, oh, the cupboard's got a little bit of juice on it. I'll wipe that away.
Although last time I cleaned the house, there was a lot of juice.
Oh, the juice congeals at the bottom.
First of all, why are we calling it juice?
He never.
It's mouth milk.
He never cleans off. You'll also know, electric toothbrush users, that when you put it on the charger,
that
you'll get a circle.
Well.
You get a circle of kind of tacky...
Mouth milk.
Yes.
Yeah. Tacky mouth milk.
Cheese, mouth cheese.
I am the only one that cleans that off, ever.
Right.
And there's just... The whole thing builds, and I'm having to really clean that off, and it's disgusting. But it's the towel thing that's really got
the
me.
Towel
do you
thing
think
is...
this is just open and sharp? But what do I do?
It's not for us to say at this juncture, unfortunately.
Let Clarky have a word, though,
because this is prime beef for Clarky.
Well, surely just rinsing is enough.
But that's what I do. I rinse, but somehow it must get inside and drip down from in the head.
Mm. You need a pot for it.
A pot?
You need a pot to put it in, so then you can clean the pot or glass or mug as you would a normal pot, glass or mug. You can pop it in the dishwasher if you don't want to get into it. And it shouldn't go on the charger every night. That'll ruin the battery.
That's what I think.
Wait until it's gone flat, then charge it. That's what I would say.
Right. Because basically
I'm with you.
My instinct was to passive aggressively buy him some kind of rag.
A little rag with a picture of a toothbrush on it that he can just
flannel.
A flannel, because he is a flannel user, which I also find disgusting.
Oh, hang on. You don't like a flannel?
That's gross. They're always wet. They never dry. Just sitting there harbouring and festering.
What do you mean they never dry?
Flannels, because you hang them up in the shower.
I know what we're talking about, but what do you mean they never dry?
They just don't dry.
Flannels,
they're always,
Matthew.
You know,
flannels.
When you get in the shower in the morning, it's never dried. It's just cold and wet.
Oh, I put them in the washing machine and then I hang them on the liner on the...
Every day.
Is this why you're running so much?
I don't...
Pardon?
Is this why you're running so much? Because your marriage is on the verge of breakup. So I'm going for a fucking run.
I'm running from something. It turns
just
out,
clutching
actually,
a toothbrush.
Do you know what? It turns out that the lounge, very happy area for you guys.
The bathroom
is an absolute maelstrom.
It's the scab of the marriage.
To be honest, in our marriage, I'd say that actually... Because we do have very different... He's obsessively clean and tidy, which is why I don't understand this toothbrush wiping.
Yeah,
it's like, your toothbrush is clean, but the towels... It's like one of those mad kind of, oh, well, this thing is clean, but like, what about it? You're putting all the filth all over the towels.
Yeah.
Mad.
Very strange.
Drying out the sink.
Well, you know what? I'd love to try and solve this ourselves, but we simply cannot.
Can't do it.
Tom, do you want to get our friend Fanshawe?
Yes.
Hello, is Mr. Fanshawe in there?
I mean, we're not in the usual room we use. I'm going to tell you now.
It's really, that was watching a man lose his mind.
We normally are in a room where there's a very heavy door that Tom can just open and shut, and that suggests Fanshawe's come in. Tom did basically a preview of his next Edinburgh show there. What the fucking hell was that supposed to be?
A man knocks on the floor.
Tom's been fired from Foley. He mimed the door being open and shut, but there was no noise for it because it was...
The miming of the door opening and closing is not going to read, Tom, on the podcast.
Also, the idea that you knock on the floor and say, is Fanshawe there?
Oh, yes.
Where is he? And then
Fanshawe walked. I don't know who the second load of steps were.
I can't wait to listen to this back and hear how that sounded.
Well, hello, guys. I told you I was in the room. Tom obviously went when he got me from the other side of the door. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast, welcome, pleasure to be here.
Well, welcome to you as well.
Welcome, pleasure to be here.
Welcome, pleasure to be here, guys.
Well, I've been thinking there about Rose's little problem. The old technology. Now, round here, we a simple town. Traditions like hand-carved, homemade, room temperature. We old-fashioned folks, things come, things go, seasons of change. Times of the day, look into the sky, hold your hand. Run, I'm coming. Anyway, what I meant to say. Y'all remember, we traditional folk round here, hell, still push the plow. You remember the day John came by with his combine harvester and the world turned.
Not the combine harvester.
No, it was a cheap machine. And it went through one field and then carried on going. Can't plow a river, but it sure did try. You'll remember the day that the cart came into town, unfurled its wares, medicine man, tricks of the trade. You know, here, new invention from the big city there. Try to sell a man a mechanical hat. Well, I doff my cap to you, sir, but I can't afford that mechanical hat. Hand goes up back at the town square. Jonathan the Mono Man. Jonathan the Mono Man, $5, sir. Bought that mechanical hat, headed to the tavern, all fancy like. Lily on his arm. Hey, Lily. Hello.
Very manly voice, yeah. Lily.
Lily's a strong woman. Plow.
She's a plow.
No, that's what we'd say to her. I'm plow day. Plow, Lily, plow. Sitting in the tavern, Lily and Jonathan the man.
Jonathan the man, yeah.
Cry goes up. Toast to the mechanical hat. All the drinks in the air, gin out the glass onto the mechanical hat. Cogs are whirling, things are happening, smoke coming out. That mechanical hat shrunk to the size of a penny. I don't mind telling you, Jonathan's head was still between. Lily's holding on to nothing but an arm.
Get out.
Technology. I'll stick to my little humble cap. I think you should too.
You're telling me to brush my teeth with a cap?
You'll never know.
Oh, he's disappeared under the floorboards again.
He's knocked on the door to leave.
He's knocked on the door to leave.
Gosh.
Tom, you're not going to believe this.
What happened?
Well, Fanshawe's still in the corner of the room. He can't get out.
I went out of the door.
Yeah, you went out. He didn't.
He crawled up via the floorboards.
He came in, didn't mention a toothbrush once.
Interesting.
He moves in mysterious ways, Fanshawe. He moves in mysterious ways. Does that solve your beef, though?
I feel like what he was telling me was
we should go back to using manual toothbrushes.
Interesting.
Oh. I think he's saying if you didn't have all this technology, you wouldn't have this problem.
Gosh, that's interesting.
But
that's
one interpretation, certainly.
I think that could quite...
Well,
could
yeah, but
that.
I've got bad teeth and my dentist said I have got to use an electric toothbrush.
Yeah, but what's he creaming off the profit?
She, actually, so that's unfortunate for you. Very unfortunate for Parry.
Well, time's up. In both senses of the term. But thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. Have you had a nice time?
I've had a lovely time. Thanks for having me.
So have we.
We've had a real pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've had a real pleasure.
We've had a real pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
I'm just off to change into my red swimsuit.
Oh, my God, as well. Yeah. Oh, we're all about that.
Who's your boyfriend?
Tears now, Matthew?
Yes.
And now the tears flow.
So many tears.
Now the tears flow. Clarky?
Rich, thick, horrible tears. Eye milk.
He shit himself. Eye milk.
We're all crying eye milk now.
Producer Emma isn't. She is scowling. So, what a lovely episode. It was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Yes.
Corsham team.
We have some live gigs coming up. Matthew's got the deets, as always.
Yes. If you are going to be at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival, so are we. And we're going to be doing a live Flatshare Slam Down at 3:15. You enjoying that? Great time to have a cookie,
no,
Thomas.
I was trying to go for the cookie.
No, have a, eat it.
It was a lot louder than I thought it was going
to
be.
I tell you what, move the... Just, you don't need to move that.
Please,
you're still miking yourself. You can move that, yeah. So we're going to be at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival on the 5th of October. We're going to be doing 3:15, a live Flatshare Slam Down. Do come along. Do support us. Because
I'll be there doing some solo work afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, he's taking another bite. He's taken another bite of all things.
Very Moorish.
When we did the Movie Mistakes show, we hosted a few episodes of Movie Mistakes on, I think it was Channel 5 at that time. Might have moved to Channel 5. It might be BBC 3. It might be Channel 5. And we hosted it, and we would sit in this set. It looked like we were having a movie night. And every time the director said action, Tom would habitually grab a load of popcorn, which was a prop. It wasn't there for us to
popcorn.
Eat.
Popcorn?
It was popcorn. He would grab a load of it and shove it in his gob. And so the first line would just be an absolute garbled mess from you.
I'm like Brad Pitt. He's always filmed eating, isn't he?
That's
famously.
True, yeah, yeah.
That's true.
I've got that in my claws.
I have always
really stuck, that's in stuck in your claws.
in my claws. So, yes, come and see us at the Aberystwyth Comedy Festival.
Please do.
We're going to have a real treat. Of a time.
Yeah. We're going to have an absolute pleasure.
Leave some reviews on iTunes. Join the Patreon.
Join the Patreon, guys. Yeah.
It's a real fun gang to be a part of.
There's always fun extra stuff. And
we've got some fun stuff to stick on there for extra recordings.
Certainly.
Enjoy yourselves.
Enjoy yourselves. And stay tuned for the
Patreon Neighborhood Watch roll call. Cheers everyone.
Bye. Please be upstanding.
I'm already upstanding.
And I am getting up as we speak.
For the Neighbourhood Watch, Patreon Neighbourhood Watch roll call.
For the Neighbourhood Watch.
For the Neighbourhood Watch.
Get in the car, man. We're going to Vegas. It's crap or bust, man. With my friend, Ash Dustman.
Get in the car.
Yes. Why?
Get in the car, man.
Okay, man.
I'm going to drive you to the set of EastEnders. Yeah, I'm driving you all the way to Walford.
Yes.
That's right. To meet Daniel Holford.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, man.
Hey.
What?
Well, hey, guys. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait,
man.
What?
Want to go to London?
How are we going to get there?
Well, we're going to drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get in the car, man.
Jeff to London.
McPherson.
Wait, which bit is the rhyme?
London.
Hey, guys, get in the car, man.
Okay.
Get in the car, man. We're doing 70. Get the windows down. Feel the breeze. We're going to London to visit Will Dupree's.
Nice, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man. What's that, man?
What's up, bro?
What do you want us to do?
Get in the car.
Whoa, okay, man.
Get in the car, man.
Okay, man.
and abandon all hope.
Hang on, sorry.
Yeah.
Buckle up, put your seatbelts
on. Put your seatbelts on,
sorry,
guys.
Carry on.
Guys, put your seatbelts on.
All right. It's quite important.
Get in the car, man.
Okay, yeah, man. Sorry,
okay.
Man. Okay, man. Quick, get back out of the car and get back
in. Get out of the car, get back in.
Hang on, let me just
belt and braces.
Take your seatbelts off.
Take your seatbelts off first. Yeah, okay. I made that mistake before.
Get back in the car, man.
Okay, get back in the car.
Okay, seatbelts back on.
Get in the car.
You're okay, man.
Sorry, stay in the car.
Stay in the car, man.
Stay in the car, man.
Stay in the car. We should probably stop the car before we get out of it next time.
Hey, stop the car, man.
Stop the car, man.
Okay.
Stop the car, man.
Get out the car. Get back in the car, man.
You know what? I tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
You guys get in the car.
Okay.
I'm going to hang off the back.
Oh, no way, man.
On my skateboard.
Whoa.
Hanging on with a tiny bit of rope.
What?
And then I'm going to fly all the way to the house.
What? You're getting in the plane?
Of Stephen Pope.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on,
what's
man?
What's up, man?
Get on this bike.
Whoa, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
And then get in the car.
No. Oh, my God.
No seatbelts.
Big car.
No seatbelts, but bikes.
Bikes in the boot, man.
Bikes in the boot. And so we're all in the boot.
Yeah, man.
Bikes in the boot, we're all in the boot. That's our motto.
That's the gang phrase. Bikes in the boot, we're all in the boot, man.
Who's driving this?
We're the Three Musketeers. We've locked ourselves in the boot.
Who's driving this car, man? It's Simon.
Clarky, you've got to learn what a rhyme is, mate.
Well, last time I did it too far. Last time I did it too far from the thing, so you didn't know where it was.
Clarky, chill out, man. Get in the car.
Okay, man.
Get in the car, man.
Okay. Get in the car.
Just calm down about the whole rhyming thing. Just get in the car, bro. Okay, we're getting on the M6. Yeah, man?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Middle lane.
Middle
80
lane.
Miles an hour.
Cruising. Cool.
Put the heating on, though. I'm feeling a bit chilly. Who's next to me in the passenger seat? I'll tell you, man. It's Levin Pillay.
You've turned into a beat poet.
I love it, man.
Hey, man.
What's that, man?
Whoa.
Far out, man.
All I'm going to say is...
What's that?
Put your seatbelts on.
Yeah.
And get in the car.
Oh, what?
Not in that order.
Okay.
When you get in the car, put your seatbelts on. But the most important thing is get in the car.
Yeah, okay.
Because we're on our way to meet Zaki Shah.
Oh. Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah.
Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah.
Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah,
Zaki Shah.
Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah.
Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah,
Zaki Shah. Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah, Zaki Shah.
Zaki Shah,
Zaki Shah,
Zaki Shah. That concludes
this week's
Patreon Neighborhood Watch.
Get in the back of the car, man. Roll call.
Far out, brother.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.